welcome to the Thursday, May 30th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, and Bible study, and anything else I want to talk about. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there doing wonderful work for the kingdom. I would encourage you to get on over there. I will guarantee you're going to find something over there you want to listen to, and there's a really good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. And I say that from experience. All right, well, like I said before, I'm no longer showing up on the RSS feed from Christian Podcast Community because I'm not hosted there. I'm being hosted from Anchor, Spotify for podcasters or whatever. I've put in the request. I'm shifting over, but that may take a little bit of time. I'm still going to keep producing episodes, and maybe folks that are no longer getting me, I mean, because obviously my listens have really dropped off drastically. But I'm sure that's because people aren't getting it because it's not on the RSS feed, such as life. And I should have done this sooner, but I didn't. I've been a little bit lazy about that, but I'm going to keep on recording anyways and getting them out there. So we can put them up. But anyways, like I said, I've put in the request, and I'm sure as soon as the folks from Christian Podcast Community have time for it, they will get around to it and will get me shifted over there. So I'll actually be hosting from there, and I'll be putting out. I'll continue to share in my Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff how you can get to me. I'll probably still keep posting episodes one way or another in Anchor, Spotify for podcasters, whatever. As well, I'll probably be doing it in parallel or figure a way to pull from where Christian Podcast Community is hosting to pull into Spotify. In all probability, that's probably what I'll end up doing. So it'll keep getting distributed the other places. And I'm actually looking at a couple other places to distribute as well. So, all right, with all that said, I want to continue to remind you. Actually, here, let me swap back over real quick. All right, I want to continue to remind you about our conference, Christian Responsibility in an Unchristian World, August 8th through the 10th, here in Vail, Arizona at Vail Valley Baptist Church. Come see us. We've got ourselves seven awesome speakers, wonderful, wonderful people. Some I know, some I can't wait to meet. I'm almost giddy like a schoolgirl looking forward to meeting these folks and listening to them and being fed by them. Definitely going to be great, but in this world we're in, this unchristian world, you and I need to truly understand biblically what our responsibility is as Christians, and this is a way to learn it. This is a way to be edified and equipped for it, so I would encourage you to do it. You can go to our website, vvb.church. Right there, top of the page, is the flyer for it. Click on it. It'll take you over to the registration page. Again, it's $45 a person. Believe me, you will not get to you will not find a conference of this magnitude for this price anywhere. So definitely worth your while to get on over here and come join us for this. All right. Well, like I said, I'm still working on multiple sermons for the month of June and some other stuff and trying to get ready for 1 John. So we're just doing Bible reading for today. But let's go ahead and open up. I need to swap back here. We're going to go ahead and open up with the fifth day morning prayer called The Giver. Let's pray. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear. Allure us into thy presence, help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials but thankful for our state. And by so doing, let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right. On our morning devotion, the text for it comes from Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as I prefer to call it, 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. A little thorn may cause much suffering. A little cloud may hide the sun. Little foxes spoil the vines, and little sins do mischief to the tender heart. These little sins burrow in the soul and make it so full of that which is hateful to Christ that he will hold no comfortable fellowship and communion with us. A great sin cannot destroy a Christian, but a little sin can make him miserable. Jesus will not walk with his people unless they drive out every known sin. He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Some Christians very seldom enjoy their Savior's presence. How is this? Surely it must be an affliction for a tender child to be separated from his father. Art thou a child of God, and yet satisfied to go on without seeing thy father's face? What? Thou the spouse of Christ, and yet content without his company? Surely thou hast fallen into a sad state, for the chaste spouse of Christ mourns like a dove without her mate, when he has left her. Ask then the question, what has driven Christ from thee? He hides his face behind the wall of thy sins. That wall may be built up of little pebbles, as easily as of great stones. The sea is made of drops, the rocks are made of grains, and the sea which divides thee from Christ may be filled with the drops of thy little sins, and the rock which is well nigh wrecked thy bark may have been made by the daily working of the coral insects of thy little sins. If thou wouldst live with Christ, and walk with Christ, and see Christ, and have fellowship with Christ, take heed of the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Jesus invites you to go with him and take them. He will surely, like Samson, take the foxes at once and easily go with him to the hunting. All right. Well, our reading for today, let me swap back over here again real quick. Our reading for today is 1 Kings 3, 2 Chronicles 1, Psalm 42, and Romans 8. So 1 Kings 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Solomon formed a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her to the city of David until he had completed building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were still sacrificing on the high places because there was no house built for the name of Yahweh until those days. And Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." Then Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your slave David, my father, according to how he walked before you in truth and righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. So now, O Yahweh my God, you have made your slave king in place of my father, David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your slave is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a numerous people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your slave a listening heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this glorious people of yours?" And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to listen to justice, behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. Now if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days." Then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings, and made peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had borne." Then the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." But the first woman said, "No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king says, "The one says, 'This is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Get me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. Then the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred with compassion over her son, and said, 'O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother.' Then all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." 2 Chronicles 1. Now Solomon, the son of David, strengthened himself over his kingdom, and Yahweh his God was with him and highly exalted him. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' households. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high places, which was at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses the servant of Yahweh had made in the wilderness. However, David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar, which Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, was there before the tabernacle of Yahweh. And Solomon and the assembly sought it out. And Solomon went up there before Yahweh to the bronze altar which was at the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I should give to you." Then Solomon said to God, "You have shown great loving kindness to my father David, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Yahweh God, let your promise to my father David endure, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can do justice for this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Because you had this in your heart and did not ask for riches, wealth, or glory, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may do justice for my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge have been given to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and glory, such as none of the kings who were before you had, nor those who will come after you." So Solomon went from the high place, which was at Gibeon, from the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king also made silver and gold as plentiful as stones in Jerusalem, and he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the Shephelah. Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt and from Kew. The king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price, and they imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150, and by the same means they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram. Psalm 42. For the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the sound of a shout of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, for the salvation of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. By day Yahweh will command his loving kindness, and by night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the salvation of my presence and my God. Romans 8. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is at enmity toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh are not able to please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raises Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. And in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Because those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who indeed did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, who is the one who condemns. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? will affection, or turmoil, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right. Well, that is our reading for the day. I thank you for spending your time with me today, for partaking. I did that. The use of that word drives my wife nuts. I don't really do it intentionally, but it's all over the Bible, so I have a tendency to use it. But for taking in the Word of God, I continue to pray that our time together in the Word helps us to stay fully saturated in it as we need to be, so that we can fulfill our Christian responsibility in this unchristian world, as our conference is going to be about. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the fifth day evening prayer called Protection. That's not working right. There we go. Let's pray. O Lord God, thou art our preserver, governor, savior, and coming judge. Quieten our souls to call upon thy name. Detach us from the influence of the flesh and the senses. Impress us with the power of faith. Promote in us spirituality of mind that will render our services acceptable to thee and delightful and profitable to others. Bring us into that state which attracts thine eye and prepare us to receive the proofs of thy love. Show us our danger that we may fly to thee for refuge. Make us sensible of our sin's disease that we may value the good physician. Placard us the cross that it may slay the enmity of our hearts. Help us to be watchful over our ways, jealous over our tempers, diligent over our hearts. When we droop, revive us. When we loiter, quicken us. When we go astray, restore us. Possess us with more of that faith, which is the principle of all vital godliness. May we be rich in faith, be strong in faith, live by faith, walk by faith, experience the joy of faith, do the work of faith, hope through faith, perceiving nothing in ourselves, may we find in the Savior wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful, wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.